The Holiday Club Mission Rescue at the character of Moses, and we thought it would be worth looking again at something of his life, but doing it this evening really through the lens of the letter to the Hebrews, which has a great chapter in chapter 11 about all the different men and women of faith in the Old Testament, and we're just going to look at the little section that the writer there speaks of Moses. But I want, as well as that, it's Moses 11, sorry, it's not Moses 11, it's Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Just going to read the first two verses, and then the section on Moses, which is verse 23 to 29. So 11, 1 and 2, and then 23 to 29. Let's just listen to God's word together. Now faith, says the writer, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And if you know the chapter, he just lists a whole lot of, as it were, heroes, heroines of faith from the Old Testament. And then he turns to Moses in verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptian tried to do so, they were drowned. Amen. And may God bless to us the reading of his word. I will sing again. This, we're thinking, I guess the theme of this evening is what's valuable in life. And here's a song which just recounts the story of the rich young man who came to Jesus looking, I guess, ultimately for what really mattered in life, and also contrasting him, his story, with the widow too. If you remember the story of the widow who just put in 2 mites into the temple offering. A rich young man came to ask of Christ. Rich young man came to ask of Christ, good teacher, will you tell me, what must I do for eternal life? I've kept your laws completely, sell all you have, give to the poor, then heaven's treasures shall be yours. How hard for those who are rich on earth to gain the wealth of heaven. Now Jesus sat by the offering gate, as people brought their money. The rich, they filled the collection place, the widow gave a penny. Now she's not given all the rest, her gift was all that she possessed. Not what you give, but what you keep, is what the king is counting. Oh, teach me, Lord, to walk this road, the road of simple living, to be content with what I own, and generous in giving. And when I cling to what I have, please wrest it quickly from my grasp.
I'd rather lose all the things of earth to gain the things of heaven. It's a greater claim to what I have. Slip quickly from my grasp. I'd rather lose all the things of earth to gain the things of heaven.
Now the offering will be received. Just pray again for a moment. Lord our God, we thank you again for all that you give us, the daily blessings, Lord, the simple gifts, the material gifts, as well as, of course, supremely the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for him, and we thank you for the opportunity to respond to all that you have given us in bringing back to you not only these gifts of money, but seeking, Lord, at the same time to give you our lives, to dedicate all that we have and all that we are to you and to your service. And we would simply pray again that what we have brought with us, Lord, you would receive in Jesus' name, and you would use in a way that would please you, that would bless others, bring encouragement and help to others. And continue with us now this evening as we continue to seek you, to listen to your word, and to seek to learn together. Hear us and help us all, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll sing again, "You Are the Word of God the Father." Right, wasn't he? And the writer to the Hebrews is writing of Moses, recalling his faith, his choices, his calculations, ultimately because he wants to point his readers and to us to one greater than Moses, to Jesus Christ. And he doesn't want his readers then, and he doesn't want his readers now, to give up on Jesus Christ, because he's convinced that everything of true value in life is found in him. So he says to them at the beginning of chapter 12 of Hebrews, after this great chapter, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let's run with perseverance the race that's marked out for. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such sinful opposition from men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." He's just reminding them. He's reminding us, listen, Jesus Christ suffered. Jesus Christ died. But Jesus Christ rose again and is seated at God's right hand, and Jesus Christ will return again. The future belongs to him. So consider him, he says. Consider him. Because if you're looking for everything that's valuable in life, according to the Bible, you'll find it in and through him. And never without him. As I was preparing this, I was reminded of William, a man called William Borden, who's an American man, who as a young man he considered Christ, considered who he was, considered his call in his life, and he answered his call. And he followed him, committed to living with him and for him. And he, as I say, he was born in the U.S. He was heir to a $1 million fortune. This is back in the 1800s, the late 1800s. But he renounced that inheritance so that he could go and follow Christ and take the good news of Jesus to Muslims. And during his college years, he'd once written in his personal journal, he said, say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. And interestingly, his faith in God and following Christ took him not out of Egypt like Moses. It took him to Egypt as a young man and to Cairo in particular. And after he arrived in Cairo to learn Arabic, he contracted meningitis and he died. And he was just 25 years old. And I guess people would have looked at that and thought, what a waste. But they found a little note under his pillow. And it just read this: no reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Because you see, he regarded not just disgrace for Christ, but death for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt or earth itself. Why? Because like Moses, he was looking ahead to his reward. He trusted the God of the future. He had seen and trusted Jesus Christ dying, rising, seated at God's right hand, and returning for all who have found their true value in life in him. Consider him. Let's pray, shall we? Let us pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, we pray every time we close our eyes, we pray that we would open the eyes of our faith to see you who are invisible, you who are unseen and yet not unknown. We thank you that you have made yourself known to us, especially through Jesus, your Son. We pray, as Moses did, to see you, Lord, and to trust you, and to live out of that faith, out of that trust, and to look to those things which are unseen and yet which are eternal. Show us, Lord, again we pray, those things in which are found solid joys and lasting treasures. Help us, we pray, not to be distracted from these things, and continue with us in your mercy, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just as